Hi everyone, welcome back to Legends of Surgery. I want to thank everyone that's listened to the previous episodes and welcome any new listeners. The last few episodes covered some pretty heavy-duty material, so next week we'll have some fun looking at surgeons that have operated on themselves and then start a series called Better Know an Instrument. But for today, we're going to talk about a surgeon that has certainly been in the news a lot lately, Dr. Ben Carson. Last Monday was President's Day in the U.S., and for those of you who follow American politics as much as I do, you'll certainly be familiar with the name of one of the Republican candidates, the neurosurgeon Ben Carson. But like me, you may not know how he became famous in the first place. I actually read his biography, Gifted Hands, The Ben Carson Story. Well, that's not entirely true. I listened to the audiobook. I also watched the movie of the same name starring none other than Oscar-winning actor Cuba Gooding Jr. And despite it being surprisingly difficult to find a copy of the movie, it was actually pretty good. A lot of the book and movie are centered around Carson's upbringing and struggles with poverty and the education system, as well as his own temper, to rise to the position of director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins. I'm not going to go into details about the social issues or his political positions, but let me sketch out a quick biography and then we'll get to two famous surgeries that highlight his accomplishments. Ben Carson was born in Detroit and spent his early years in Boston and then back to Detroit. He went to Yale for his undergraduate degree, the University of Michigan for medical school, and he did his neurosurgery residency at Johns Hopkins. He also spent a year as a senior registrar, which I gather is basically like a fellowship, at Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital in Perth, Australia. He returned to Johns Hopkins in 1984, where he was appointed the university's director of pediatric neurosurgery, the youngest one in the nation at the time, and he stayed there until he retired in 2014. Now, all this is pretty impressive on its own, but what launched him to public renown were two surgeries, the hemispherectomy and separation of conjoined twins. So let's start with the hemispherectomy. It was first tried in some poor dog in 1888 by German physiologist Friedrich Goltz. In 1928, Dr. Walter Dandy, one of the pioneers of neurosurgery, described five patients that underwent removal of the right cerebral hemispheres, which is basically half of their brain, for cerebral gliomas, a type of brain tumor. Interestingly, he actually worked at Johns Hopkins too. This was a radical approach to cure what at the time was an incurable disease, and three of five patients were dead within 3 months. In 1938, Canadian neurosurgeon Dr. K.G. McKenzie from the Toronto General Hospital described the first hemispherectomy performed for epilepsy, which is a seizure disorder, on a 16-year-old patient. It worked on alleviating the seizures, but as the procedure gained in popularity, called anatomic hemispherectomy, delayed complications arose and it fell out of favor to some degree. Another Canadian neurosurgeon, this time from Montreal, named Theodore Rasmussen, developed functional hemispherectomy in 1974, which takes out only parts of a hemisphere and severs the connection between the two sides, called the corpus callosum, which reduced the complication rate and still relieved the seizures. This has been further refined to something called hemispherotomy. So how does this tie into Ben Carson? He's often given credit in some articles as reviving the procedure, but more accurately, I think, he improved upon the technique, reducing complications, including an innovative system of incrementally removing specific lobes of the hemisphere as units, as well as in areas taking only the layer called gray matter and leaving the white matter. This is called decortication. Finally, he altered the approach of the veins to reduce bleeding. His first and most famous patient was Miranda Francisco, a 4-year-old girl from Denver that he met in 1985. She had developed a very rare condition called Rasmussen's encephalitis, named after the same neurosurgeon we just mentioned. It's a chronic inflammatory disease of the brain, which left her having up to 120 seizures per day. She was normal at birth and up to 18 months, when she started having seizures, which became more and more frequent. Miranda was losing her ability to walk, talk, eat, and learn. Carson tried the hemispherectomy on her, knowing it may leave her paralyzed and unable to speak, but amazingly, she opened her eyes after the 10-hour operation, woke up and said, "I love you, Mommy and Daddy." Miranda was walking within 3 days, and as of last year, which is the most recent update I could find, she leads basically a normal life. Oh, and she is seizure-free. The amazing thing is that small children can lose half of their brain, and through something called neuroelasticity, regain nearly all of the lost half's functions. Carson continued to perform the surgery throughout his career. The second famous operation, and one that many listeners may have heard about, was the separation of so-called craniopagus twins. Okay, so a few things here. Craniopagus means joint of the skull. Craniopagus comes from two Greek words, the first cranion, meaning skull, which is where we get the word cranium, and the second pagus means fixed. Now the old term, which you may have heard, is Siamese twins, actually has an interesting historical origin. there were these twins named Chang and Ang Bunker, joined at the abdomen, that were born in Siam, which is now Thailand. They traveled with P.T. Barnum Circus in the 1800s and were labeled as Siamese twins, and the term caught on. Their life story is actually amazing and worth the Google search if you have the time. We now use the term conjoined twins to mean joined anywhere, and the frequency of this is somewhere between 1 in 49,000 and 1 in 189,000 births, with some regional variation around the world. But craniopagus twins are exceedingly rare, estimated around 1 in 1.6 million births, and represent only 2 to 6% of all types of conjoined twins. Enter the Binder twins. Patrick and Benjamin were born in Ulm, Germany. They were craniopagus twins joined at the back of the head, called occipital joining. Although they were neurologically normal, and that's important to remember as we go on, it was decided that they should be separated as their quality of life would be poor. Craniopagus twins had been separated before with mixed success. What made the Binder twins more tricky is that the occipital craniopagus twins tend to share a common sagittal venous sinus, which is basically like a large vein inside the skull. In 1987, Ben Carson led the team that would separate them. This team consisted of nearly 70 people, including 20 physicians. They would rehearse for months leading up to the surgery using dolls attached by Velcro. The operation lasted 22 hours, and what made it so unique was the approach taken to do the separation. Because of the large vein, controlling bleeding would be an issue. So the team decided to use cardiopulmonary bypass and hypothermic circulatory arrest. This means that the blood would skip the heart and lungs and be oxygenated and cooled outside the body to the point where it would be safe to stop the heart for a brief time without damaging the brain and other body tissues. This allowed the surgeons to divide and then reconstruct the sagittal sinus without any blood flow obstructing their view. The twins were then completely separated so their skulls and overlying skin could be reconstructed. The operation was described in a case report printed in the Journal of Thoracic and Cardiovascular Surgery, which is an interesting read. Now, even in the paper, the authors do admit to a few intraoperative complications, which is understandable given the unique nature of the surgery. Unfortunately, the twins both had some postoperative complications as well, and both were left with neurologic dysfunction, I think one of them pretty severely. In fact, although the parents and family have shunned the limelight since the operation, the mother did question why she allowed them to be separated in a later interview. Both were said to have been institutionalized, and one has since passed away. As sad as that is, the surgery itself certainly pioneered an approach to a previously impossible problem, and Carson went on to separate 4 more sets of craniopagus twins, again to mixed success. Now obviously there's more to Ben Carson's career than those 2 operations. He was also known for developing a 3D imaging technique that allows surgeons to conduct a virtual surgery before the operation, which was developed to help plan separations of conjoined twins, as well as the first intrauterine procedure to relieve pressure on the brain of a hydrocephalic fetal twin. Hydrocephaly is an abnormal accumulation of fluid in the brain. By all accounts, he certainly had a long and successful medical career. I guess we'll have to wait and see about his political one. Well, that wraps up another episode of Legends of Surgery. I hope you enjoyed it. Please rate the podcast on iTunes and leave a comment there. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I've put up some content related to this episode. I'll be posting some teasers about the next one, as well as any interesting articles I come across. As always, please feel free to send an email to me at legendsofsurgery@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you about your thoughts on this podcast or ideas for future episodes. Please join us next time. Thanks for listening.